The Holy Gospel today comes from the book of St. Luke, beginning with the first 20 verses or so. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Wherever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its street and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from God, our holy Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Amen. I want you to do something a little unorthodox for me this morning at the start of this sermon. I want you to close your eyes. No exceptions. I can see all of your eyes too, so I'll know if somebody's cheating. I want you to close your eyes and just breathe for a second and notice your breath. And now I want you to imagine heaven. Picture what it looks like to you. Who is there with you? And what is it that you're doing? Now open your eyes. I imagine that what you pictured and what you experienced was something or some things that you have experienced before in this life. I imagine what you saw were familiar places. I imagine the people that were there with you were familiar people, perhaps some who are no longer with us anymore. And I imagine that what you were doing was simply things that you've already done. When I think about heaven, I imagine that my mother's there, who's been gone for about 13 years now. I'm surrounded not only by her, but all of my family, my wife, my daughter. I imagine us sitting around a big table filled with delicious food. I imagine those lights that you see in patio areas of restaurants, the big yellow ones that artistically cover the whole space and just give this beautiful glow in the midst of night. And all we are doing is eating and drinking and talking and laughing. That's what I imagine heaven to be. And the thing is, I've had this experience before already, many, many times in my life. You see, our image of heaven typically is built on these experiences that we have already had, and that's the point, I think. In Luke's gospel today, we get this very famous story of Jesus sending out the 70. And we've always treated this story as though it's this big story on evangelism. This is what we as disciples of Christ are called to do. We are called to spread out into the world and share the news of who Jesus is. The problem, though, as Westerners, we treat this far too intellectually. We think that the disciples are being sent out into these towns to convey this intellectual knowledge to the people that they encounter, to present them with information. And then hopefully they take that information in, but some of them might not. And again, I think that comes from our Western Enlightenment way of thinking. For some reason, for us, really the only point in sharing anything is to convey intellectual information. But I don't think that's what's going on in this story. I think rather, instead of conveying information about who Jesus is sending these disciples out into these towns not to give information, but rather to share experience, to share a moment, to share what the gospel calls peace. That's a funny word, peace, right? When we think of the word peace, we typically think the absence of conflict. That's what peace means to us. For Jewish people, even today, and Jewish people in antiquity, peace, or as the Hebrew word says, shalom, it means something very different. Part of it is definitely the absence of conflict, but that's only a small part of it. For Jewish people, shalom is a much bigger word. Shalom has more to do with completeness, perfection. It's when something has been done and it cannot be done anymore. It is when something is complete and whole. And the ancients didn't just think that about tasks, but they thought that about the human person as well. Shalom for a human being is when wholeness was felt inside. Now, if you think about that for a second, wholeness, that's the idea that there is nothing more that can fill you up as a person. And when I think about that today, I think, what are the things that I seek to fill me up as a person? And it usually has to do with my own emotions, something deeply personal. It's when I'm seeking to maybe not experience anxiety or pain or sadness or fear. Wholeness is when all of that is gone. And I need nothing else to fill in those gaps for me. If we think about wholeness in time, wholeness is when you are not worried about what has happened in the past. You are no longer haunted by the past, and you are filled up to the point that you really don't care so much about the future because you're not working towards something. So wholeness is this moment where you get to experience presence. If you are filled up, if you do not have to be haunted by the past or concerned about the future, then you are liberated. You are free to experience presence. The absence of time's effect on your life. And you could be connected to all that experience has to offer you in that moment. Now, if you're thinking, pastor's doing drugs, I don't know what he's talking about right now. Again, I'm betting you've experienced this before. I'm betting when you thought about what heaven is like to you, when you recalled these experiences that you have previously had, these were moments of wholeness. To experience shalom, to experience wholeness and presence, it doesn't mean that you take it with you forever. You don't have it always. At some point, you will drift back into that space of being haunted by the past and concerned about the future. But there are these moments in our lives when we do truly get to experience shalom. And if you think about what those moments contain within them, they're almost entirely experiential. They're loved ones sitting around you, good food and drink, laughter. Maybe it's even by yourself sitting down and looking at creation and just marveling at its beauty. All of these moments where time just seems to disappear and you are fully present. The ancients, they had a word for this. They called it the eternal. Again, our Western thinking, we think of eternal in time. But that's not what the ancients thought about eternal. Eternal was the experience of this presence. It's the experience of something so much bigger than us. And every now and then, we get to tap into it. They called that the eternal. We have a different word for it. We call it heaven. And if you notice in the gospel text, Jesus isn't asking his disciples to go out and seek peace. He's not telling them that they don't yet have it and need to go out in some way by their actions, by their mission, they will obtain it. Jesus is simply asking the disciples to go out into these towns and to share what they already have, to share what they already have experienced in Jesus' ministry, in Jesus' time in this earth, in their presence with one another. Jesus is simply asking them to take that shalom that they have felt and to go out into the surrounding area and just share it with those around them. The irony of this passage is that Western Christians tend to think of heaven as this future destination, this afterlife thing that one day we will have. And if we treat it that way, if we are consistently trying to tell people that they need to do this or that to have this future experience, to have this future destination, the irony is that we actually miss the experience of that heaven in our lives, here and now. If we allow ourselves to be so future-oriented, we miss all of the ways that God is present right here, right now, around us. We miss our own shalom. Now, this is very important to me, this idea of heaven. And it's one that my interpretation of the Bible is what Jesus is consistently trying to get us to realize and to experience ourselves. And I'm going to do a shameful plug right now, and I have to apologize for this. I brought the magazine. So the inside San Ynez Valley magazine for the summer months has me and Livier and Vesper on the cover. And I wasn't supposed to tell anybody. She was very strict about that. She said, you can't tell anybody and you can't do any other stories for 3 months once it's published. And it's nice. It's a humbling and honoring experience to be highlighted in as the cover story for Inside San Ynez Valley magazine. And it's nice to highlight my background and why I became a pastor, because not a lot of people other than you have heard that story. And that story is directly related to this sermon and to this topic and to this church. And that, actually, that's the reason why I brought the magazine and lifted it up in front of all of you today, is not because of what it says about me, but what it says about us as a church. And that was a really big part of this article. There's even a line in the magazine where I say, there's no evangelism component to our church. Now that's unique. There's no part of our ministry where we are going out and trying to create believers in Jesus or save souls or try to rack up the number of people who will one day go to heaven. What I detail in this article, and what they've brought out so well, and this goes all the way back to the founding of Bethania to Grundtvig and to the folk school model, is that church really was something to inform our own humanity, something to elevate ourselves as people and to open up spaces here and now where we get to experience heaven and shalom. That's what this church has been doing for over 100 years, and it's what we continue to do today. Our whole point here at this church is not to try to get people to heaven one day, but to try and help people experience heaven here and now. To create those experiences where they can just pause and imagine what heaven is like and think of all of these incredible people around them. To think maybe of this church that gathers constantly, that laughs and has fun, that looks at a world yearning in need and can only respond by taking that shalom that we have experienced and trying to make this world a better place, trying to help those in need and create more and more spaces where heaven can be experienced. As I was writing a sermon, I even did a quick list of the things we do. Fastelavn, which is just a fun family event that we do every February, March, our Lenten summer suppers, our summer barbecue, coffee hour, theology pub, the Halloween party, our interfaith Thanksgiving service, all of our worship services, our vacation Bible school, the family bingo night that the Jaeger girls put on for us a few months ago, the book group, the quilters. And for most of us sitting in this room, when we think of the quilters, we think of the quilts that we get to bless. But if you want to see heaven, go join those quilters. Be there as they just talk with each other, and then as they sit down for some kind of a dessert and coffee afterwards. I'll tell you, time completely disappears in that space. As I look back and reflect on all of the things we do here in this church, none of it relates to trying to save souls, to kind of the traditional understanding of what evangelism is. And almost all of it has to do with helping people experience heaven here and now by realizing how much God already loves them and how present God is here now with them. The trick for all of us is that we have to recognize those moments when they come. We have to realize that in those spaces where time does disappear, where we are absolutely immersed in love by those around us, we are actively being immersed in God's love around us. And in that moment, we are connected to the eternal. We are connected to heaven. We are experiencing shalom. To recognize those moments and to embrace them and to allow them to just fill us up. And then realize, folks, all we are called to do as Christians is to take that experience and to go out in the world and to just share that shalom with others. Amen. Please stand as you are able.